This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I'm so glad that you've let me come into your space. And as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be looking at that moment when Jesus finally stood before Pontius Pilate. But Pilate did not want to prosecute Jesus, so he looked for a loophole. And today, you're going to learn amazing things from this series, which is called Easter, the rest of the story. There is so much to this story that people have never heard, and that is why I'm teaching it. When I was a little boy, every year we went to church at Easter, so ready to hear the message about the cross and the resurrection. But eventually, I began to wonder, isn't there more to the story than what we hear every single year? So I took a deep dive into the story, and wow, what I found was just amazing to me. And what you're going to hear today is truly remarkable. Pilate really did everything he could to avoid prosecuting Jesus, but eventually Jesus went to the cross because it was the Father's plan for him to die as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. That means my sin and your sin. But Pilate, in the process, really did look for a loophole to get out of this. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. It's really going to be good. But before we get into the teaching, I want to remind you that if you need prayer, we want to pray for you. So you call the number on the screen, or if you wish, send us an email. And when you call or send us an email, the moment we hear from you, Denise and I and our team are going to really pray for you, and Jesus is going to do what needs to be done. The Bible says that if we would agree as touching anything, Jesus will do it, and we will scripturally agree, and God will move on your behalf. So please call the number on the screen or send us an email. We're waiting to hear from you right now. But I'll be back in just a moment. But first, watch this.
Do you know the story of Easter? The resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, and the appearances to the disciples. But did you know that's only part of the story? In Rick Renner's book, Easter, the Rest of the Story, Rick delves into the lesser-known details of the Easter story that are often overlooked. Details like, who was Pontius Pilate? What really happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? What happened to the temple when Jesus died? What exactly did the disciples witness on that miraculous morning? Why Easter is the absolute defining moment of our faith. With its elegant illustrations, Easter, the Rest of the Story, invites families to deeply engage with the true significance of Easter. Presented in a large coffee table format, this book offers an interactive experience through its beautifully decorated pages. This comprehensive exploration of Easter allows you to ponder the reasons behind Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and the ultimate purpose of his sacrifice. When you call or go online right now to order this book for just $45, you will receive the beautiful narrative of Easter, eloquently captured in this timeless keepsake. With 300 pages of breathtaking illustrations, your family can establish a practice that will enrich your Easter celebrations for generations. Perfect as a gift or to enhance your own holiday traditions. Order Easter, the Rest of the Story today for just $45. Call now or visit Renner.org to order. Don't miss this special Easter offer.
In the last program, we saw that the religious leaders in Jerusalem really abused Jesus. They spat on him. They struck him with the palms of their hands. They doubled up their fist and they hit him. They played blind man's bluff with him. It is just unthinkable what they did to Jesus. And finally, they led him to Pilate. And today we're going to be looking at Pilate. But when you talk about Judea in the first century, it was a land that was filled with leaders that were paranoid about somebody trying to take their power. The Jewish religious leadership was paranoid. That's one reason why they really didn't like Jesus. They didn't like the fact that he was becoming popular. Political leaders were paranoid about losing their power. And for that reason, political leaders were looking behind every nook and cranny, looking for some secret plot out there to take away their power. And this leads us to the subject of Pilate, a remarkable ruler who ruled Judea for 10 years. Now that is already amazing because most Roman governors ruled Judea from 12 to 36 months. You say, well, why such a short term? Because they were losing their power all the time. But Pilate ruled for 10 years, and this tells us something about Pilate. We're told by Josephus that he was ruthless and he was unsympathetic, and he was always putting down plots against him, but he was quite a cruel leader. And Pilate was the final say-so in all legal matters in the land of Judea. He was viewed as the chief legal authority in all legal matters, so his word was very important when it came to legal affairs. But when it came to religious trials, Pilate really didn't enjoy that and didn't want to find himself embroiled in all kinds of religious controversy. So if there was a religious issue and the Jews felt some religious law had been broken, rather than him deal with it, he usually sent it to Caiaphas, who was the high priest at the time, and to the Sanhedrin, and tried to leave that in the matters of their hands because they just didn't like to deal with religious issues. But Pilate knew how to play the political game, and that is how he stayed in power for 10 years. But the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem also knew how to play the political game. And the Jewish leadership knew, because of Pilate's cruel behavior toward people, many, many complaints had been filed against him to the emperor in Rome, and they knew that if they filed more complaints, it could cause problems for Pilate, and they use this to their advantage. And this no doubt affects Pilate's ultimate decision to crucify Jesus. But when the religious mob insisted that Jesus be crucified, Pilate wanted to know the reason why. Why were they demanding Jesus' crucifixion? So they answered him in Luke chapter 23, verse 2, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Well, the truth is the Jewish leadership was jealous of Jesus, and they also despised Pilate for his cruelty. But Pilate knew that they were jealous of Jesus' popularity, but politically, he also knew the charges they were putting against Jesus put him in a really bad position. What if news reached Rome that Jesus had perverted the nation or had taught the people that they were not to pay their taxes and that Jesus was claiming to be a counter king and he did nothing about it? That would be political suicide for Pilate to do nothing about that kind of situation. So with that history behind us, now let's look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 2, where the story continues, and it says, "And when they," that is the religious leadership of Jerusalem, "had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." But notice the Bible says they bound him. And the Greek word that is used here describes the binding or tying up or securing of an animal. The words "led him away" is a form of the Greek word ago, which pictures a shepherd who ties a rope around the neck of his sheep and then leads it down the path to where it needs to go. And here we find a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53, verse 7, which says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." And now we find literally in Matthew 27, verse 2, they wrap a rope around Jesus' neck, and like a lamb, they lead him to Pilate for the beginning of his slaughter. And this fulfilled Isaiah chapter 3, verse 7. But then when we come to Matthew 27, verse 2, we find that moment when Pilate begins to interrogate Jesus. And in my book, Easter, the Rest of the Story, there's a beautiful illustration of that moment when Jesus stood before Pilate, who was the governor of Judea. But we read in Matthew 27, verse 2, "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." When they delivered Jesus to Pilate, their intention was to make Jesus Pilate's problem. And when we come to Matthew 27, verse 11, the Bible continues to tell us, "And Jesus stood before the governor." That is what is pictured in this beautiful illustration. Jesus standing before the governor. "And the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?'" And of course, if Jesus had said yes, this would have been treasonous. "But Jesus said unto him, 'Thou sayest,'" which is the equivalent of saying, "That's what you say about me." But Pilate asked him a direct question, and Jesus did not directly answer him. Then when you come to Matthew chapter 27, verse 12, it continues, "And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing." So now we see one time he has not directly answered the governor. A second time he has answered nothing. For a second time, Jesus has refused to answer or to refute the charges that were brought against him. And then when you come to Matthew chapter 27, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Then said Pilate unto him, 'Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?' And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." Marveled greatly in Greek means to wonder, to be at a loss of words, or to be shocked and amazed. And the reason that Pilate wondered greatly is because Roman law permitted an accused person 3 chances to defend himself. And if a prisoner passed up those 3 chances to speak in his own defense, it meant he would automatically be charged as guilty. And Jesus passed up all 3 chances to defend himself. Number one, in Matthew 27, 11, Jesus passed up his first chance. Number two, in Matthew 27, 12, Jesus passed up his second chance. Number three, in Matthew 27, 14, Jesus passes up his final chance. And that is why Pilate asks him in Luke 23, verse 3, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he, that's Jesus, answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." And then we're told in John's gospel that Jesus added, and here it is, John chapter 18, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." And after hearing these answers, we're told in Luke 23, verse 4, "Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, 'I find no fault in this man.'" And the word fault is a Greek word, which means no causable legal reason to prosecute. And according to John 19, verse 12, it says, "And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him." Well, you have to remember that Pilate was the highest legal authority in the land. No one knew the law better than Pilate. And now Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man." The Greek literally means, "I find no causable legal reason to prosecute this man." And that is why John 19, 12 says, "And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him." But the religious leadership in Jerusalem devised a scheme that would either get rid of Jesus or would get rid of Pilate. They didn't want Jesus and they didn't want Pilate either. So they developed a special scheme to either get rid of Jesus or to get rid of Pilate. Number one, they developed a scheme to see Jesus judged by the Roman court, thus ruining his reputation and guaranteeing his crucifixion, while at the same time vindicating themselves in the eyes of the people. Or number two, to see Pilate removed from power on the charge that he was unfaithful to the Roman emperor because he would not crucify a man who claimed to be a rival king to the emperor. Or number three, if Pilate would not crucify Jesus, they fully intended to take Jesus back into their own court in the Sanhedrin, where they had the religious authority to stone him to death for claiming to be the Son of God. If Pilate had just given the order for Jesus to be crucified, this political game would have been finished. He would have had happy Jews on his hand. He would have delivered himself from having charges brought against him in Rome. But something in him just could not bring himself to prosecute Jesus. But if Pilate had simply said, "Crucify him," this game would have been over. So Pilate gave Jesus three opportunities to defend himself, and Jesus passed up every opportunity. And that's why Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, "He opened not his mouth in his own defense." So according to Roman law, Jesus should have automatically been charged as guilty. But Herod still was seeking a way out of this dilemma, and hip, hip, hooray, he finally figured out a loophole that would free him from prosecuting Jesus. He discovered that Jesus was from Galilee, and Galilee was under the control of Herod Antipas. And at that particular moment, Herod Antipas was in Jerusalem on the other side of town in his father's old palace because he was in town to celebrate the Passover with the Jews. And when he heard that Jesus was from Galilee, he must have been jumping up and down on the inside because it meant he didn't have to prosecute Jesus. In fact, this should be Herod Antipas' problem. So he sent Jesus across town to be tried by Herod Antipas. And when we come to Luke chapter 23, verse 8, the Bible tells us about that event. And it says, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him." But you're going to find out it didn't take long before Herod Antipas lost his temper and sent Jesus back across town, returning him to the court of Pilate. But can you imagine? First, Jesus was standing before a Roman governor where he was tried. Then he was shipped across town where he was tried before Herod, only to be shipped back to Pilate again. And my friends, if you've ever been in a position in life where you feel like you've just been shipped from one authority to another authority, maybe a church or at work or by the government, and you've just felt like you've been abused and shipped from one person to another, Jesus fully understands, and you can talk to Jesus about it, because that is exactly what Jesus experienced on that night. And that's why we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." I want to tell you, if anybody understands being abused, it is Jesus. Now, just imagine, he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he demonstrated phenomenal amounts of supernatural power. With one word from his mouth, he knocked 300 to 600 Roman soldiers, plus temple officers, plus religious leaders, back onto the ground. In that moment, Peter swung into action impetuously. He cut the right ear off the head of Malchus, who was the servant of the high priest. But Jesus was moving in such a mighty anointing in that moment that he either regrew that ear on the side of Malchus' head or picked up the old ear and put it back on. It reattached supernaturally. And then we know that there was a rumbling in the local cemetery and a boy was raised from the dead. All of this amazing power being manifest in the Garden of Gethsemane at the time of Jesus' arrest. And then Jesus stepped forward and permitted them to wrap a rope around his neck and to lead him as a lamb to his own slaughter. And of course, eventually they took him to Caiaphas, where he was abused, he was spat upon. Those religious leaders got right in his face and spat as hard as they could in order to denigrate him and debase him and humiliate him. Then they beat him and they slapped him. And then the guards, which were working with the high priest and the religious leaders, entered into the fray and they began to beat him and they began to mock him. And then finally they led him to Pilate, where he was interrogated. And Pilate asked him again and again and again three times, trying to give Jesus an opportunity to speak in his own defense. But as a lamb before her shearers is silent, so Jesus opened not his mouth. Why didn't he open his mouth? Because Jesus knew the cross was the Father's plan for him. He knew he was born as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And this was not a moment to defend himself, but it was a moment for him to entrust himself into the hand of the Father. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, that in that moment, Jesus trusted himself to the one who judges righteously. And even though Jesus was going through abuse, he knew he was right in the center of the Father's plan. But Pilate discovers that Jesus is from Galilee, and that is Herod Antipas' district. So Pilate ships him over to Herod, who's in town for the Passover. And Herod loses his temper, abuses Jesus with his special guards, and then sends Jesus back across town to Pilate again, where Pilate finds himself once again embroiled in this religious mess. And eventually he caves and realizes he has no choice except to give the order for Jesus to be scourged and Jesus to be crucified. But Jesus was so abused, he was shipped from one authority to another authority to another authority. But all the while he had his eyes fixed on the Father, not on those that were abusing him, because he knew the Father had designed for him to die on the cross as the Savior and the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. That is for me and that is for you. My friends, Jesus went through all of this for me and you. I'm out of time, but I want you to watch this and then I'll be back in just a moment.
Are you tired of the same watered-down Easter sermons? Rick Renner has a solution. In his new series, Easter, The Rest of the Story, Rick explores the raw, unfiltered aspects of Jesus' sacrifice. This series is an opportunity to rediscover the profound spiritual significance of Easter and its lasting impact on our lives today. In this powerful 15-part series, you'll learn how many soldiers it took to arrest Jesus, the reality of Judas' kiss of betrayal, the horror of a Roman scourging, the miraculous details of Jesus' resurrection, available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $24. This teaching holds the life-changing revelation found in the details of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, which are the cornerstone of our faith. His death was not just a tragic event, it was a purposeful act of love that fulfilled God's plan for redemption. By taking on the weight of our transgressions, Jesus bridged the gap between sinful humanity and a holy God. Celebrate the gift of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life by ordering this series today. In addition to this series, you can also order the book, Easter, The Rest of the Story. This book brings new meaning to the 2,000-year-old history of our Savior with more than 30 stunning original illustrations. Order Easter, The Rest of the Story for just $45. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle, Easter, The Rest of the Story. Call the number on your screen or go to Renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I am in the production fulfillment part of the Tulsa Ministry headquarters, and I just love to come here and see all these teaching resources. My friends, we send them out by 10,000s every month and every year. It is just amazing, and it's a great honor that anyone would want our teaching. It's very humbling, and I'm very grateful that God is using our ministry and our teaching to strengthen lives around the world, and our partners are the ones helping us to do it. And right now, we're trying to pay off this facility so we can release more funds to taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. We've already paid off 84% of our ministry expansion project, but we'd like to finish it. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, today I want to ask you to join our giving team so we can pay off this facility and release all those funds into taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
Well,
Well, today we've been looking at the events of when Jesus finally stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate interrogated him. And Jesus passed the test. He knew who he was. He refused to defend himself because he knew that he was right where he was supposed to be, and he was to die as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Father empowered him to remain true to his mission. Praise God. And friend, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you're going through or what you're facing. If you know you are in the will of God, stay on track, and the Father will give you a new infilling of the Holy Spirit, which will invigorate you and charge you with what you need to stay faithful all the way to the end. Say amen. But hey, if you need prayer, reach out to us, because we want to pray for you. If you're going through a rough time, or if you've got a spiritual need or any kind of a need, and you just wish there was someone to pray with you, here we are, and we're waiting to pray for you. Or you can send us an email, call us or send us an email, and we will really release our faith, and Jesus will just do something wonderful for you. And I'm gonna pray for you right now. So put your hand on your heart. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that when you call us to do something, you give us the power to do it and to endure all the way to the end. I thank you that Jesus was faithful to the assignment. He didn't bend. He didn't break. He stayed on target with what you called him to do. And Jesus, we're so thankful for that. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill my friend with the strength and power they need to stay on track and to fulfill what God has called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we come back tomorrow, we're going to see what happened to Jesus when he stood before Herod Antipas. It's going to be good. But until then, remember Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and Denise and I are coming to the United States for a brief trip, and we want to invite you to come to some of our meetings. On Sunday, April the 19th, we'll be ministering at Vertical Church in West Haven, Connecticut, with Pastors Ken and Kathy Vance. Then on Wednesday through Sunday, April the 22nd to 26th, I'll be speaking at Perry Stone's wonderful 2026 Prophetic Summit in Cleveland, Tennessee. Then on Sunday, May the 3rd, I'll be speaking at Resurrection Life in Granville, Michigan, with Pastors Dwayne and Jeannie Vanderklok. Friend, if you can come to any of these meetings, Denise and I would just be so thrilled to see you. But please go online or give us a call to make sure none of the dates or times have changed.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-Called Partners of Renner Ministries.